Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity of National Review is back from his vacation, ready and rested, and diving straight into a very busy week of Supreme Court decisions, potential contempt of Congress votes, all sorts of exciting things. So, Jim, you picked a good time to come back. Let's start with the good martini, which comes from the Supreme Court, and that's that the justices pretty much still feel the same way as they did a couple of years ago about campaign financing. There was a case originating out of Montana where, once again, those who want to limit corporate speech in the political arena got shot down 5-4. Pretty sure that was about the margin last time, too. So the same justices pretty much came to the same decision. And that means that if you want to say something during a campaign, it's much easier to do so now than a couple years ago.
Yeah, and this kind of gets into an interesting spot for folks on the right. A lot of us consider ourselves federalists, meaning that we would rather see, 50 states being the laboratories of democracy and kind of experimenting themselves rather than a one-size-fits-all approach coming from Washington. But then periodically, states will do things you think are bad ideas, and probably RomneyCare being an example of Obamacare. No, there was an individual mandate in RomneyCare. I am one of those folks who believes that RomneyCare is perfectly constitutional, even though it's probably a bad idea, and that Obamacare is unconstitutional because the U.S. Constitution does not give Congress the authority to force you to buy something, to regulate economic inactivity as a form of interstate commerce. But there's nothing in the Massachusetts Constitution that prevents the state government from making a similar change in that state. What we saw in Montana was basically a state-level Citizens United, the state attempting to regulate how much money people could use for political speech. Now, as much as I'm glad Citizens United came along, you don't want to get the federal government out of the business of regulating political speech just so that the states can do it. So it is good to see the Supremes coming down on this. I've heard some people arguing that the fact that it appears that John Roberts wrote the majority ruling for Obamacare is a good sign. I'm going to tell everybody just to hold your horses on that. I've heard some folks argue that Justice Roberts really wants to have as broad a consensus as possible, and that if it splits 4-4, that he would do his best to join with the liberal majority, or basically that if Kennedy goes with the liberals on the court, so to speak, that Roberts might jump along to kind of limit the damage and write the majority opinion, kind of the prerogative of the Chief Justice to write the majority opinion when he's in the majority. So we will see Thursday. We know the decision is coming Thursday. Stock up on whatever alcoholic beverages you feel are necessary to either celebrate or drown your sorrows. And one way or another, we will have our answers on the constitutionality of Obamacare come, around 10 o'clock or a little shortly thereafter Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's good to know when it's coming down. There'll be a number of decisions that day because it's the last day of the court session, and they've got a number of decisions still to get through. They got through three today. We mentioned the Montana decision. The other two can probably join together in the bad martini. We'll focus on one in particular. By a 5-4 decision, the court ruled that juvenile offenders cannot be sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. But the big one today is that most of Senate Bill 1070, the law that was passed in Arizona to crack down on illegal immigration, has been struck down by the court. Interestingly, the most controversial provision seems to be alive, at least for now, and that's that police, if they stop anyone for another unrelated violation, if they suspect that someone is here illegally, they can still demand paperwork to prove whether or not that person is here. So Jan Brewer is the governor of Arizona. She's trumpeting that as a triumph of the rule of law. Others say that this means that minor immigration offenses really can't be prosecuted the way that the state would like to. So while they got one monumental victory here, most of the rest of the law is gone, and that's a bad thing. So we'll chalk that up to the bad martini.
Yeah, this one was frustrating. My understanding is the good news is that police can still check if somebody is an illegal immigrant, which seems almost common sense to a lot of folks, that you're stopping somebody for a traffic stop or some other criminal activity, then yeah, the state should be allowed to ask that. But it sounds like the limitations on employers hiring illegal immigrants have been kind of said that states are not allowed to regulate this. This is only the authority of the federal government. And I think it was, Ben Howe had said on Twitter, look, if the federal government would do its job in controlling the border and securing and weeding out illegal immigrants, the states wouldn't have to. There is an argument to be said that this ought to be a federal responsibility. But if the federal government is going to claim it's their responsibility, then they ought to handle that responsibility. And if they were doing so, states wouldn't pass laws like this. So, you know, we will see what happens in this. I think it's definitely a frustrating point for supporters of Arizona's law. They're putting a good, brave spin on it. They have one key provision, the one that was most controversial, has more or less been upheld. Basically, the Supreme's kind of said, look, if you have somebody whose rights have been violated under this law, come back to us, so to speak. But, you know, look, you know, in the end, if you believe we need better border control, then we need the federal government to do this. And, you know, the only way to do that is to elect a new president. That's just no other way around it at this point, Greg.
Yeah, absolutely right. And a lot of conservatives would say that the last Republican president wasn't as tough as he should have been on this issue as well. So Mitt Romney's position seems to be evolving a tad. We'll see where he comes down if, in fact, he's elected. But a little more clarity from him would be helpful as well. But we'll see what happens, of course, with health care on Thursday. Jim, on to the third martini now. And we know this president speaks often of the audacity of hope, but the audacity of tackiness might be the next book, because this president is raking in quite a bit of money. I don't think he's quite on pace with where he'd like to be, but he shouldn't need to be this desperate. We found out late last week, over the weekend especially, this kind of took off, that the Obama campaign is literally asking people who are getting married, having birthdays, having anniversaries, to ask their friends and guests not to get them gifts, but instead, in lieu of gifts, donate to the Obama campaign. Now, just last week, Dan Foster and I were talking about the email where Michelle Obama sent out saying that Barack Obama took care of her, and now America sees how great of a husband Barack Obama is, and a lot of conservatives thought that that was kind of creepy and that that meant that Barack Obama was our husband. So I guess if that's the case, Jim, that's why he gets all the wedding gifts.
First of all, I kind of wish I had been there for that one, Greg, because my first thought is, honey, you're sleeping on the couch tonight. This is if he's our national husband, I am one bitter wife. And by the way, there's fun audio to be taken out of that for someone to take, you know, to take that snippet of me saying I'm a one bitter wife and let it mock me with that one. This is a good, bizarre martini, Greg. I'm almost struck speechless. The idea that if you want to give money to the president, fine. If somebody is giving you a gift for your birth, like, first of all, so you should only ask this of your Democratic friends, I suppose. You know, like if you have a Republican friend and you say, look, what should I get you for your birthday? Donate to Obama. I don't think they're going to do that. One, he doesn't have enough, and he's obviously spending oodles of money on his campaign, but he's also raising tons. But the idea that I'd like a portion of your wedding gifts, I'd like a portion of your birthday cash, come on, you know. This presidency does feel like it's going off the rails. Everything from the executive privilege claim for Eric Holder to the golf, you know, 101 rounds of golf. This stuff, you kind of wonder if there's just anybody in there who can, you know, raise their hand to Axelrod or whoever's doing this and saying, you know, this might not be such a good idea. This might look silly. This might backfire on us. The Anna Wintour, I know many famous people like Sarah Jessica Parker, and you should give, you know, come hang out with celebrities like us. Like, is there anybody in Obama land to say, you know, I don't think that's going to swing, you know, bring us voters in Ohio and Pennsylvania? I guess they just kind of feel like they should, you know, they need cash any way they can get it. I think this looks crass and desperate and silly and kind of ridiculous, but I guess we'll see how the, you know, the donor base reacts to that.
Yeah, tacky, pathetic, a little bit desperate. Also, if you are getting married this summer, I would get someone to stay by the gift table because you don't deliberately give them your gifts doesn't mean they won't just stop by and take them. They kind of have a way of having that mentality. So just have somebody on guard there in case that happens. So, Jim.
Who invited Obama to your wedding anyway? Well, what's he doing here? Why is he taking our stuff?
And don't give him the microphone during the toast either, because you'll never leave. So he'd be there forever. Jim, welcome back. It's going to be a fun week. Talk to you tomorrow.
Another busy week, Greg. Looking forward to tomorrow. See ya.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Tuesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.